Hello, everybody. Welcome to Art Star Scene Radio on Radio Free Brooklyn. That was the 7 o'clock cheer on my block. I am Face Boy.
I am Face Girl.
With us on the phone is my buddy since junior high school, Norman Spiller.
Hello, hello.
And I'm trying to get inside. I'm using the wrong friggin' key. Pushing the doors with my elbow. Trying to avoid the fucking joggers. That don't cover their face. Fucking jobber. I want to put a sign. I know, I want to put a sign on my block saying, "Hey, jogger, cover your fucking face and pass with 10 fucking feet." If there's like a slipstream of their spit.
Sure.
It goes 10 feet, not 6.
That's right, that's right.
You read about that?
I did. Just the other day.
Right?
Yeah.
What's pissing you off, Norman?
I'm sorry?
My biggest thing is the joggers. What's pissing you off?
What's pissing me off? Just anyone who's not wearing a mask. It's like, come on, what is your problem? Or a scarf or something. Like, put something on your face.
Put something on your fucking face.
Yeah. Well, that's the least that, of course, I can get into the protesters protesting in all these different states, and that's really sort of pisses me off, and I'm not even going to touch on Trump because he pisses me off more than anything else, but, you know, that's he pissed me off before this happened, so it's just more of it.
Yeah, yeah, he's who's he blaming this week?
I don't know. He was just on just a second ago, but I wasn't listening. So
I don't listen to him. I don't listen to him because he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he lies.
Yeah, constantly.
And I don't listen to de Blasio that much because he just doesn't have a lot of power to do the things he's talking about.
Right.
Like when he said he's going to think about, he's going to keep the schools closed. Well, that's not his call.
Yeah, yeah, it's Cuomo's call. Yeah, it's the governor's call.
Cuomo, I listen to religiously.
Yeah. Well, you know, a voice of reason in this chaotic times we're in right now, you know?
Yeah.
A voice of reason and calm and humanity, actually.
Yeah. He was saying the other day, what the fuck was it?
Blame.
Oh, yeah. He goes, I don't know why we weren't doing doctors over video years ago. We've had this technology for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, but, you know, change is hard and people are slow.
It's true. Hey, listen, I used the token the last day you were able to use a token, you know, for the subway. Some people have to be dragged into the next century, you know, millennium, that is.
So you mentioned the protesters. Here's something that someone posted and I had to share on Facebook. Dear protesters, y'all realize that people in New York City have been holed up in a tiny-ass apartment the size of your car garage for twice as long as you guys have? They don't have any breaches. They don't have any beaches. And most of them don't know what a porch is. Restaurants being shut down means most of them have to cook in kitchens that are built for instant ramen at best. Also, nobody has a car, so they can't hoard toilet paper like you fuckers or escape to a near-town lake to take a walk in a park by a lake. Yet, they're all making silly videos on Facebook, shouting thanks to healthcare workers at 7 p.m. every day, while you motherfuckers block the paths to hospitals, and they're coming together like a community to defeat this thing, despite going through hell. You know why? Because you guys are a bunch of fucking pussies. You snowflake-ass motherfucking pieces of shit need to whine about your rights getting trampled on because the government is telling you what to do with your bodies? Seriously, fucking puke in my mouth. And all those guns and ammo and vests and shit, who the fuck are you going to shoot? The virus? Doctors? Put the fucking guns away, you psychopathic, insecure-ass hat. Go the fuck inside and stay there and stop fucking protesting. Bye.
Hear, hear.
Right?
I agree with that.
I love that bit about the Manhattan apartments, you know?
Yeah.
So true.
I agree with everything except for the vomit in my mouth. I think that person's just into that.
Yeah, that's not social distancing. It's kind of far from social distancing.
I feel like you're losing your point there.
True.
Catherine's a germaphobe.
Oh, yeah.
So she was living like this before everyone else. And a hoarder. So now her whole fucking existence is justified.
Yep. I was right the whole time.
And you were well prepared as well.
Sort of, yeah.
Oh, you need empty jars. I have 40.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Yeah, I'm a mermaid. Yeah, no, I would
speaking
yell.
Of mystical creatures, today I found a pair of fairy wings and a fairy wand.
Nice.
So I'm going to use that to enhance my COVID battling fairy image that I'm putting together slowly.
So you mean to tell me that you happened upon the exact thing you needed just by in your home?
Yeah, it was in the hallway where people put shit that they don't want and anyone can have it. So I took a tissue, brought it in, won't touch it for 2 days or a day and a half, whatever, and then I can wear the wings and use the wand. The exact fucking thing I needed.
There's
no tutu, but, you know, whatever.
Is there anything you could just tutu in front of yourself?
I've been trying to figure out how to make a tutu since I came up with this character.
I mean, worst case scenario.
Gotta be a way.
See, Norman, this started from when Chris Cuomo had the dream of his brother in a tutu and a magic wand making the virus disappear.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. I gotcha.
And then my mother had a dream that I came into her room wearing a cape and I was twirling around. So if I'm twirling, I'm probably not a superhero with a cape. I'm probably a fucking fairy with a cape.
A super fairy.
As long as you're, you know, curing the COVID, you know, doesn't matter. You know?
Right?
Wow, that's a beautiful PSA. It doesn't matter if you're a superhero or a fairy, as long as you're making a cure.
And
it's about equality.
Since I can't do, like, even the simplest Photoshops of putting, like, one picture into another one, I wanted to make, you know, a coronavirus image. So I got one of those spiky fucking things that falls off the trees.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that looks like the coronavirus, and I painted it white and then red tips. And so I made my own.
And you can see that for 2 episodes ago.
Yeah, it's on my Facebook page. Yeah. I look insane.
And I look forward to seeing what it'll be for this episode that people are listening to right now in the future.
Fairy wings.
Yeah. And it's not a spoiler.
Yeah, right now for us, it is Wednesday, Earth Day, the 22nd. And for you, it'll be Saturday, the 25th.
Right.
For people listening live. 420, what'd you do?
I'm sorry?
420. Did you do anything for 420 2020?
No, you know, me, every day is 420, so it's not, you know, real significance there, you know. It's, so I don't observe 420, more or less, you know. It's an everyday occurrence, so, you know.
Yeah.
Not too special in my book, you know.
Me and Norman were smoking weed together 13 years old.
Yeah, 13, maybe even 12.
So
pretty young. Yeah.
Basically a year before that picture was taken.
Oh, that fucking picture. Yeah, that's North Dakota. I was like 14 or 15. I look like 28 and sleazy.
Like a cool and sleazy, easy breezy 28.
Because remember I had that thing where I decided never to shave? So I had this fucking caterpillar mustache.
Sleazed
for 15 years old.
Right. Jeez.
And then with the fucking, the way I did my hair, it was like Matthew McConaughey out of what's that movie?
Yes, they
Dazed
do.
And Confused.
Yes, they
I was
do.
Dazed and Confused. I was that sleazeball.
Oh,
and we were definitely dazed and confused back then.
Yeah, sure. We were. And kids don't smoke that young.
Really?
No, definitely not.
Yes, I do not recommend people smoking as young as we did.
No.
Which is what?
Yeah. Well, I started even earlier than you. I started around 8.
How?
Yeah, yeah. So did Robert. And look, you know, it's just bad news. I went to college at 16. Norman is in charge of like all of Broadway, and Robert's Iron Man. So kids, don't wait.
And they started before you. So what you're saying is the sooner you start, the more likely you are to succeed. Children, listen to me. I'm Mother Earth. Today's my birthday.
I really didn't give a good argument for that, did I?
Nope.
Not quite.
I couldn't be happier about it, though.
Well, I guess it's one of those do as I say, not as I do things.
There you go.
It might have worked for me, but it might not work for you, so...
I'm not making notes before the show anymore, Norman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, there's so much going on, and yeah, I'm glad about it because I feel like I'm really sort of finding more of my radio voice. I'm not depending so much on this and that. You know, I had so many
mm-hmm.
talking points every week. I didn't feel as if I was really getting. This feels more natural.
Right, right. Well, so far so good. Yeah, sounds good.
I like that. So far so good, face boy. You're doing it.
The other things I like about
wrong.
Doing this, yeah, I don't have to have clothes on.
Right. It's true.
I'll bet anything that Catherine is pantless.
Well, define pantless, because if you're wearing a blanket dress, are you really pantless?
Yes, if you're wearing a blanket dress, you're pantless.
Well, it's a good thing I'm not wearing a blanket dress today, then.
All right.
I'm naked. No, I'm wearing a very long tank top and robe. Like, the long tank top is a dress, but I'm not wearing pants, so it's like a nightgown.
Yeah, I was right. No pants.
Yeah.
But he's right. No pants.
I had to say it the long way so that it couldn't immediately be like, you're right. You've got me. I'm never wearing pants, and I'm never going to do it again. This is my apocalypse, and I don't have to put on trousers.
So, Norman, you said everyone in your family's doing well?
Yeah, everyone's doing well. my middle sister, Laurel, just got through beating breast cancer very recently, so it's, a little scary, but she's fine. You know, my mom...
It's scary and also good timing to not have to go to the hospital for treatment.
Yeah, how recent?
Yeah, exactly. Just about a month ago, she finished, Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. So she's doing well. My mom, who's 82, she's doing very well.
Oh,
I'm sure.
And she might have had, she got really sick, and my sister Susan too, like in what was it, December or something, or January? I mean, like a lengthy sickness too. You know, and they're saying a lot of people might have gotten it back then and didn't realize it, and they're thinking that might have happened to them, but both of them climbed out of it. So you just never know. But yes, thanks. Everyone's doing well. And you said your mom was doing well as well.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well.
I've been, we have this basement apartment and
mm-hmm.
the courtyard is there. So
mm-hmm.
I try to get her out in the courtyard because there's absolutely no one else is there. And if someone else is coming through, we can see them. They can see us immediately.
Right.
There's
mm-hmm.
no danger. So she's getting out. She's getting some air. She's getting some sun. She's not getting enough exercise. And she
right.
is sleeping more than she should.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also making these incredible dinners that she looks forward to and enjoys. Tonight I made, and healthy, tonight I made salmon with avocado. That I made the avocado heart. You know how you do that?
No.
I'll send you a picture after the show, and I'll put it up when we do promotion for the show. But yeah, you can use thinly slice the avocado and then you shape it into a heart. Uh-huh. And then I put rice orzo pilaf inside the heart, so it was like presented really nicely.
Man, check you out.
I know, right? I love my
Frank.
Mom.
Chef Hall. Nice.
I like that she gets
last night I taught myself how to make a creamy sauce without milk or cream.
How? Like nuts?
No, I used butter, goat cream cheese, chicken stock, and Parmesan, and garlic, and some other shit.
Sounds good. So not strictly non-dairy because you had the butter, but still much healthier than using regular milk. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's goat cream cheese, and I didn't use much butter.
Uh-huh.
And goat cream cheese is, you know, lower in fat, more digestible.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good to know.
Nice. Yeah, well, every Sunday's before this, you know, virus hit the world, I was I've been sort of learning and teaching a little bit of Tai Chi and Qigong, that is.
You've been doing Tai Chi for 20 years.
Yeah, for just about, almost, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And my mother-in-law lives right across the street from us up here in Inwood, and she'll come over when the weather permits. We'll be outside, and I do like an hour-long Qigong class with her. So when this
And what
hit,
is that?
That's like the energetic basis of Tai Chi. It's breathing breathing and movement exercises to get your energy flowing optimally. And,
would you consider doing it like online for people that want to, you know, doing tutorials online?
Well, I started a Sunday Zoom class, really.
Okay.
Initially for her, you know, since you know, because she's 82 and I didn't want to, you know, take the chance of her coming over or anything. And then you know, my wife's family and my family downtown, so everyone's calling in, you know, sort of chimed in, and now I have a little bit of a a little bit of a following of doing this 1 o'clock Sunday class. Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as you said it, I was like, I want to get in on that shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Definitely. Give me your email address after the. You know.
I don't do Zoom.
Done.
I don't do Zoom.
Though. Oh, you don't do Zoom now.
Do
okay.
It. Don't be
uh-huh.
weird. Just do
Why
it.
Don't you do Zoom?
Because like. What Catherine said, because I'm weird.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't say no more. Yeah, you know I'm weird.
Yeah.
There's just some
yeah.
shit that I just don't do that everyone else does.
Right.
And there's
right.
shit I do that no one else does.
Right. Well, you know, you wouldn't be you if that weren't the case. You know?
That's right.
Don't
yeah, so understandable. But, yeah, so I started doing that. That's been sort of neat, you know. And my Tai Chi classes we've been doing over Zoom, you know, with my teacher. So you got to keep on, you know. You got to move your body, especially now, you know. I mean, it's nice to get out and take a walk if there's no one around. Or, you know, you got to go to the store. You got to, you know, there's certain things you got to do. But when you're cooped up in the house, it's good to move your body, get everything, you know, flowing. Because, you know. A lot of bad health issues can occur just from being too sedentary, you know?
Yeah, I put it in my head a month before I turned 54. I said, I want to be fit as fuck at 55.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started doing push-ups, I was like, I'm going to start way small. I'm going to do just 10 push-ups a day
mm-hmm.
And build up from there. And you know
now,
what,
had
the
you
10
done
push-ups,
before?
Yeah.
You had done... You had, okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was in, my late 20s, when I said, all right, you know, I'm getting older. I'm going to have to start exercising. I'll start with push-ups. I think I did, like, 2.5. I was thinking, yeah, I'll do, like, 20 or something, you know. I did, like, 2 or 3, and I was like, oh, my God, they're harder. If you don't do them, it's not like you could just, you know, crank out 30.
Yeah, I know.
40,
I know. The 10 was too much for me. I was too sore the next day, so I said, all right, fine. My baseline is 8.
Right.
Do you know how many I did today?
How many?
48.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. No, that's the thing. You start doing it, and it's amazing how much, you know, your body will acclimate, and you just start doing more and more, and you just, the key is to keep with it, you know?
Yes. I do it 5 days a week, a whole bunch of different exercises.
Nice.
And I'm telling you, in 4 weeks, I mean, I already am pretty, you know, I can't tell. I have body dysmorphic disorder. I don't know what I look like. I called Catherine yesterday saying, Catherine, it's all gone to shit. I'm fucking obese and fat, and I don't know why. And then I sent her a picture from a couple of days ago, and she's like, what is the problem?
Remember that? It reminds me of that old Mad Magazine skit, like how a hippie thinks of himself and how he actually looks, you know, and he looks all buffed in the how he thinks of himself.
Oh, yeah,
and then, like, you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
You know, people's self-image tends to be a little skewed, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd mind if I had that problem. Well, you know what? No. I don't want to look like shit to the rest of the world and great to me.
Oh,
I'd rather
you
look
do.
Great to the rest of the world and look like shit to me.
No, the thing with looking like terrible outside but thinking you look great is that you're confident enough to just not care, and then you look better.
Oh, good point. That is true.
Like, if you think about it, classically, people who you find sexy or good-looking, like, think of famous people, and then think of one that you know is not classically good-looking. What about them makes them attractive? Confidence. It's called swagger,
confident,
but, like, it's confidence.
Confidence and personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, nobody's going to have a personality if they're not confident enough to be themselves in front of you.
Right, right, right.
Like, I have a great one, but nobody knows it because I'm scared. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, you make excellent points.
So I'm glad you're on the exercise tip there, Frank.
I am. Well, you know, it's also, I was thinking about everyone, you know, my friends from junior high school. Adam, buff as fuck, black belt.
Buff as fuck?
You,
is that what you said?
Yeah, buff. Buff as fuck.
Buff as fuck, Adam.
Yeah.
Buff as fuck, Adam.
Norman, 20 years of Tai Chi, buff as fuck.
Well,
Robert again.
Buff as fuck, but.
Downey Jr. I mean, come on. Again, Iron Man.
I know.
And then I'm looking
buff
at myself
fuck.
And I'm like, I can't do a pull up. Now I can. You gotta keep up with you fuckers.
Keep up with the Joneses, man. Keep up with the Joneses.
I'm doing my weekly indulgence. Halfway through the show, once a week, I have this Nika coffee grain whiskey. It's this fucking single malt from Japan that is amazingly good.
Nice.
So I'm pouring myself that. Any special indulgences that you have given yourself through this that are different from the past?
Not really. I tend to, like, keep my indulgences pretty much regularly flowing, so nothing really extra, you know. Well, you know, it was my wife's birthday last Tuesday, so I did break out one of my last really good, really fine bottles of wine, and we drank that down.
The
know.
Last Shiraz.
Nice.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, no, just, you know, nothing extra to treat me, you know.
Oh, this shit is good.
My extra was just drinking wine. On Friday, I would have a glass of wine, but that only lasted 4 Fridays.
Why just 4 Fridays?
Because that's how much was in the bottle.
Oh, okay, right. Well, wow, it lasted 4 Fridays, so okay.
Yeah, well, I don't really drink.
Right, I gotcha. I gotcha.
Once a bottle of red wine is open, you're not supposed to drink it after 4 days.
Well, I'm bad at drinking.
Well, you know.
I should have had more.
Maybe. You went a month?
Depending on the wine, it could last a few weeks, you know.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. The better wines could last a little. I mean, you know, it won't be quite as good as if you drank it all within the first few days, but they still hold up. They hold up, yeah.
I don't think Catherine was drinking the better wine.
I don't know. It's called Prophecy. I'd have to Google it. I don't know where it is. It's definitely not like the better wine, I don't think. But it's called Prophecy.
But I had to go to a couple of my theaters this week, you know, just to check on things and see if the rodents took over, because, you know, we have a lot of candy in our theaters as well, because we deal with the bars. But anyway, I was like, all right, what should I take home? And one of our special reserve stocks, we had this brown sugar bourbon that I found at one of the trade shows about a year ago. It's delicious. And if you put it, mix it with some apple cider, oh, it's heavenly. So I found a bottle of that and brought that home. So I guess, yeah, I did treat myself to something.
Yeah. That you stole?
Even though I didn't crack it open yet. But I have to go out now. I have to go out and get the apple cider. Yeah.
Are you also going to steal the apple cider?
No, that one I'll have to purchase.
It's not stealing. It's like what, pillaging?
Yeah. No. No. Actually, I told my boss too, and I said this is hazard pay. You know.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, if you saw the rodents that took over reenacting scenes, what would you do?
I would film it and put it on Facebook,
right.
Or put it on YouTube.
There you go.
Good.
Yeah.
And see if they're willing to
Hamilton.
Oh, yes.
Vape Girl, we are at the halfway mark. Do you have a song for us?
I do.
We won't hear the music, Norman, but
okay.
On Saturday, our listeners will hear it,
mm-hmm.
hear it with the music. So it's a little weird. Like if there's a long musical part at the
mm-hmm.
end of, you know, a long, at the end of the song where there's no singing, I'm like, is the song over? Should I be talking?
Right. So while the song is playing, if we talk, they could hear us talking. Or does,
yes, they would.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. So I apologize in advance because you're just going to hear this without the music. That said, it is in honor of the show you did together.
Oh. It's going to be a song from Hair.
Oh, nice.
No. on my favorite table, he can be my best. His disciples lead him in, and he just does the rest. He's got crazy flipper fingers, never seen him fall. That deft on the fly, he sure plays a mean pinning ball.
What does that have to do with our last episode?
I was going to say, that is a great song. I just want to point out that definitely was not in there.
Well sang. But that was from Tommy.
Yeah, I know. I never get it right, remember? It's the whole bit.
Right, because last time we were talking about hair, you were going, Thames,
yeah.
I want to live forever.
Disagree. I said, hair! I want to live forever. It's different.
You know, Roger Daltrey did have a lot of hair back then, so I guess, you know, it's sort of appropriate.
And we did play a lot of pinball.
See?
And we did play a lot of pinball, so, you know.
Did we talk about that? Did you know that, Catherine?
I did it as a segue into this next bit where you talk about it.
There was a place called the Night Owl, and it was a head shop, a comic book shop, and it had underground comics, and it had pinball machines. It was like the best place to cut school and go to.
Sounds
and it
like
used
it.
To be an old like cafe, like where they used to play John Sebastian and the other guy from.
In the 60s, there was a lot of folk music
of folk,
and things like that. And
mm-hmm.
I'm sure, like, all the folkies, you know, when they saw that it became head shop, comic books, pinball, and fucking Matthew McConaughey playing pinball in the back, they were like, the fuck happened to my place?
Like, he made it by a lot way.
What? I cut you off, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was fucking heaven for me.
Yeah. Could you get a Mogwai there?
Could you get a what?
A Mogwai. It just sounded like a magical underground place where you could get a magical creature. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yep. But it was a magical underground place.
It was a magical place. Yeah, true.
I got a copy of Zap Zero there when I was a kid that I still have.
Nice.
That was Robert Crumb's first
R.
Zap.
Crumb, yeah.
And it was the 35-cent edition, so it was a first edition.
Nice.
Yeah. But unfortunately, they had this practice of they would hang comics from the ceiling on a string or a wire, and they'd put a little hole in the corner to hang it there. So, you know.
There's so much for the value. You know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it's like I have this thing.
Well, too much for the monetary value. Of course, it has sentimental value, you know.
So it's. Instead of being worth whatever $2,000, it's
don't
worth
like
instead
that.
Of 35 cents, about 70 cents because of one little hole. It's like that in the fucking industry. It really
yep.
is.
It is.
Kid,
yeah.
It's like that in the industry.
Okay, I doubled my money.
What?
What an
investment. I doubled my money.
I like that you both. Norman first. What?
Any of your comics go up in value, Norman?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
What do you got?
I have almost a whole collection of X-Men comics and Avengers comics like from number 1
and
up
Avengers
until about
comics?
Into the 90s. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, of course those are hot now. Oh, well, right now all collectibles are in the fucking garbage cuz we're But anyway, it'll come back to be worth
it. It'll come back, yeah. But, I still have my enormous collection. I've never sold either. Never sold out, no, never sold them. Hold on. Matter of fact, if I sold them now, I would maybe be breaking even because I've had them in storage for so long and all the money I've paid in storage, it's like, okay, maybe I'll break even if I sell them now, perhaps.
Oh, man, storage is a bitch. I'd never use it. I don't use storage because, yeah, mm-hmm. that's exactly
God
what happens. Bless. People put their collectibles in storage, and, you know, it's safe and all, but...
Yeah. Well, I've moved so many times over the years, and I moved... When I moved down a few years ago, actually, more than... About 10 years ago, I said, all right, I got to move some of the stuff out of storage. Let me get rid of some of the stuff. And I went to the storage, and I was like, clothes? I have clothes in storage, which is, that's the most ridiculous thing. Like,
yeah, you really shouldn't do that.
Unless they're vintage, like, you know what I mean? Something that are worth something.
Yeah.
Having clothes in storage is the most, you know, inane thing you could do.
Yeah.
And then magazines and I just, you know, anyway. So yeah, storage, it's a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a trap.
It is.
It's a trap. Now, you were more of a Marvel guy, and I was more of a DC guy. And so,
mm-hmm.
like, your shit is worth 10 times the stuff, 10 times as much as mine. DC is not nearly, like, the things
and
I have.
Unless
that,
you had the old stuff, then DC is, you know.
I do have some old stuff. I do have
mm-hmm.
some, like, you know, superheroes fighting Nazis stuff.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Not in the best condition, but.
Yeah.
Superheroes fighting Nazis condition is a little bit less of an issue.
Right.
A little bit less.
A little bit less, yeah.
They want mm-hmm. it to be a little war-torn.
right. And if you happen to have a little dried blood on them, one of the pages, that it might increase in value a little bit, you know? Just
and
to prove that, you know, this has been at war.
This has been on the front lines. Interesting, a couple of pieces I have that are worth the most money are not, like, super old. They're The Killing Joke, which
oh,
is, like,
yeah.
80s.
Uh-huh.
Pristine, I have, I think, one or two of those. I have at least one of those. I think I have two.
You definitely gave me one.
No.
No, yeah.
I did give you a Killing Joke.
Yeah, I'm
I?
Not making this up. I definitely didn't forget it either.
Yeah, but that was a reissue. That was worth maybe $20, $30.
Okay. A Killing Joke.
But still, that was $20, $30 I gave you.
Yeah.
Because I'm your friend.
That's right.
And,
well, I
and,
won it.
And,
but yeah.
Frank
and
Miller's
Dark
and
Knight.
And a good story. And a good story.
Yeah.
You know.
And the Frank Miller's Dark Knight. That's worth the money, too.
Yeah, the original
those,
that should be worth something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's around $700, something like that. And the complete Frank Miller Batman in a leather-bound edition, which is not easy to find and is really quality stuff. It's fucking pandemic, and we're talking about comic books.
Good. People want that, I think, right? It's like, oh, yeah, I remember life before the sickness.
Yeah, and nerds are going to be nerding out,
the before
out
times,
too.
You know,
yeah.
That's what I call it. The
yeah,
before
the before
times.
Time. I've been calling it that, too.
That is
oh, yes, the before times.
Remember in the before times?
Yes, bread.
Yes, bread. We
in
actually had
times.
Butter to put on.
We had bread and butter in the before times.
Man.
And live shows.
Oh, yes. Yes, we would go to the theater. We'd go to movie theater.
With people, crowds.
Believe me, this happened in the before time. Believe me, it did.
Yes, it's
more than four people would gather.
There would be
without
gathering.
Masks,
and
without gloves.
They'd make believe.
We would puke in each other's mouths.
For sex.
Well, we'll speak for yourself on that one. I don't know.
Wow.
Nerds are definitely nerding out about our comics.
I hope so.
He has the Avengers from the beginning? Oh, my God.
Where does he live? Now where's
the
time?
Where's the storage room? Where's the fucking storage room?
Wouldn't they like to know? Ha, 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 ha.
Remember when in the before time, when your comic book guy just seemed like he was the coolest person in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
I woke up to that not being true, I don't know, maybe when I was 52.
I came to that realization 2 years ago.
What was that like?
I looked at him with different eyes.
I realized.
Well, there used to be on the Lower East Side, you know, that's where I grew up, on First Avenue and First Street, Black Star Comics is one of the first comic stores, actually, I remember being in existence, really. And one of my camp counselors, this huge dude, Joe, also worked in the comic store. And he was, big hulking guy, didn't take gruff from anybody. He was actually sort of a cool guy.
Sounds
years
cool.
Years ago, I find out that he became a fantasy illustrator, Joe Jusco. Like, if you Google his name, I mean, he's drawn the Marvel characters, all sorts of, and different fantasy, Conan, you know, they have that strain of a fantasy artist, like Frank Frazetta, of course, is the... Frazetta's the man of that genre. But he became sort of well-known on his own, and I'm like, I'm looking at his picture, I'm like, I think that's Joe, and he has a compilation of his work. And I didn't buy it, but I was in a comic book shop, and I picked it up, and I started reading it, his bio. And sure enough, he's like, I grew up in the Lower East Side. I worked in this comic book shop. I was like, oh, my God, it's Joe. So, and another thing, this guy that actually ended up writing comics, the mask, that Jim Carrey movie,
yeah.
That, well, he didn't create the character, but that story that they used from the movie is based on this writer who used to work at what's the one down in the village? Forbidden Planet. He used to work at Forbidden Planet. And for some reason, he took a liking to me and it would hook me up with, I'd buy like a shitload of comics and he'd look at it and, give me $10,
Nice.
And we started talking. He's a really cool guy. And he ended up writing comics, And he wrote the mask, the storyline that they used for the movie. But the reason I bring him up is that I was telling him about Joe Jusco, and I was like, yeah, he used to be a camp counselor. And he stopped like in his tracks and he looked at me. He's like, Joe used to counsel kids. That dude was a terror. I mean, he was like a badass. Like, you don't take shit from. And I was like, yeah, I mean, he, that's why he was able to keep the kids in line, I guess, But
well, anyway, people are always surprised when they find out that I taught Sunday school on and off for 5 years.
Yeah.
They're like, this fucking weirdo?
That's inappropriate. Shouldn't be laughing.
But those of us that know your tender side, that's not surprising at all. But,
I loved it. I loved it. And thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the kids loved me.
I bet they did.
Yeah, it was a really wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
Judson Memorial Church. Very hip church, kind of place that would hire a guy like me.
Cool. Yeah, actually, when things in the before times, once again, we do our Tai Chi class. We do our Tai Chi class in this church on 126th Street off of Broadway. Actually, there's one little street that's actually called Old Broadway, and a very progressive church. And they let us, do our Tai Chi in there. They don't charge us. So we, in turn, anyone affiliated with the church, if they want to join our classes, they, we don't charge them. They could take any of our classes for free.
Very cool.
But yeah, but very, very cool, church. The pastor is married to a woman who's in her wife, actually, Renee, comes down and has joined our class, which is great. But very, very progressive church, Thank God for the progressive churches out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Directly.
And we have about 12 minutes left, and we didn't do any of the copy that we're supposed to read. Catherine, if you would be so kind, if you have it available.
Sure do. Friends, COVID-19 is disrupting everyone's lives right now, and Radio Free Brooklyn is no exception. We want you to know that we've made every effort to ensure the health and well-being of our hosts, staff, and the community at large. We've closed both our studios and canceled live events, but our hosts are still doing their best to continue bringing you new original programming by broadcasting live and pre-recording from their home studios, or by selecting the best rebroadcasts of their past shows. With most of our revenue streams evaporated, we need your help. We realize that you may be hurting too, but if you can afford a small donation, it would go a long way toward helping us stay on the air. Here are three ways that you can help. First, you can give a one-time or monthly donation by going to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. There you'll find some great t-shirts, mugs, and other swag that we'd like to send you to say thanks. You can also use your phone to text RFBGIVE5, that's RFBGIVE5, to 444321, which only takes a moment, and you'll be able to use your digital wallet for your donation. Finally, if you shop on Amazon, you can go to amazon.com/smile and register Radio Free Brooklyn as the nonprofit you wish to support. When you do, a percentage of our sales will go to RFB, and it will cost you nothing. No donation is too big or too small. Whatever you can afford will make a huge difference, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And we wish all of our listeners health and happiness as we weather the storm together.
Is that it?
No. At Radio Free Brooklyn, we always welcome new neighbors. Dashi, a new American restaurant and cafe specializing in Japanese and Asian comfort foods, has opened at 111 Ingram Street, only a few blocks from the Morgan L stop, and they've got great dishes, noodles, rice dishes, small plates, and salads. And if you want a hamburger or BLT, they've got that too. They're open every day, most days 9 to 8, and you can order online at Grubhub, Postmates, DoorDash. Check them out. Go to DashiBrooklyn.com, and you can stop by, wave from afar, and say hello. Tell them that RFB sent you.
Thank you, Vape Girl. Norman, did you stop buying comic books? And if so, when?
Well, I never really completely stopped. I stopped sort of collecting, like, in the 90s. I just got tired of, like, you know, all the tie-ins and this and that. And then I sort of, but every week I would go back, and then they came up with a different line that I started reading, you know, sort of an alternate universe. Marvel Universe, and I was like, oh, sort of interesting, different take on the characters, so I started reading that, sort of got tired of that, and now I'm to the point where I don't really buy too many, but every week, until, you know, in the before times, I would go every week, so I go every week, and just, you know, just see what's out there, and look to see if anything grabs me, or, so still in my blood, you know what I mean, but I don't really collect. Like I used to. No.
Yeah, I don't collect, and I haven't bought a comic in quite a while, but mm-hmm. I still do check out the shops. If I'm passing by a comic shop and I have some time, I'm gonna go and check it out.
No, I mean I'm a little a step beyond that. Like it's still a weekly thing, you know.
Okay.
So, like every Wednesday when they come out, oh, let me see what the new comic.
Oh,
are.
You
I'll you go in
go out on, new
on
comic
my way.
Day.
To, yeah, on the comic day even, you know, so it's
day,
still,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so I still have that in my system, you know, I just don't, I don't really
no,
buy
I remember
too many
that
at
shit.
All, you know.
And then, like, if you had an in with the comics book, with the comics guy, you know, he'd put aside your shit on new comics day.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure it
well,
wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I
still remember the joy of, you remember 59 First Avenue and the little Optimo shop right next door?
Yes,
right?
I do.
So it was a little newspaper stand that sold candy and ice cream, you know, old style. And I still remember the thrill. And I don't remember, it's Wednesdays now, and honestly, I can't remember if it was always Wednesday. But whatever day the new comics, I remember rushing down to see what came out, and I remember that thrill of like, oh man, the new Avengers or the new Spider-Man, you know, especially if there's a story arc that you're particularly like wrapped up into.
Yeah.
Just the thrill of when it came out, and you're like, you know, you can't wait, you know, to get your quarters together, you know, oh man, I have a whole dollar, I could buy four, you know.
And I was doing that like right up into the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my late 20s,
mm-hmm.
early 30s, yeah, late 20s, I was still like that kid on New Comics Day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, it's still in my blood. I still go to the comic store It's just not, I don't quite have that thrill, and I'm just now it's sort of like, what's coming out? I might pick one, I'll look through it just to sort of see what's going on, but, you know, just every once in a while something bizarre, you know. I got that there's a comic called The Boys that they made into a Amazon series, and I never read it, but I remember seeing it in the comic store, and I was like, so when they made the series, I was like sort of intrigued, and I said, let me go back and read it. And it's sort of a take on the whole superhero genre, a twisted disguise from Scotland, Garth Ennis. He has a very sort of like Train Spotting type of worldview. And so he wrote this twisted take on the whole superhero genre. And I went back and just bought all the trade paperbacks of it. And loved it. And then started watching the series, and I'm like, the series is okay, but it's not going as far as the comic can. So yeah, every once in a while, there's something that still sort of grab me, you know.
I was buying more comics as an adult than I was as a kid, simply because I could. Because me and Norman, you know, neither of us had much money growing up.
Right.
And so there was all kinds of stuff that we wanted that we couldn't have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And comic books was definitely, like, there's no way when I was a kid that I was buying as many as I wanted. No way.
Yeah. But, I had my three sisters, would get, and thankfully they were so cheap back then. That was like, okay, you know, if each one gave me a quarter, that's three comics.
That's three comics.
You could buy.
Yep.
Now it's like $5 a comic. I mean, you know, think of it, because we didn't grow up with a lot of money, not just in comics, with everything. I really don't see how people that don't have a real income, you know, could survive these days. I mean, like, you know, $10 for a box of cereal, like, you know what I mean? Or $6, just everything, food. And you go to the grocery store now and $100 and you have like, two bags,
mm-hmm.
you know, and two maybe not completely filled bags. Maybe I'm exaggerating.
Well, last time I went, it was $200. I'm fucking shopping with a shopping cart, which I said I would never do. I was like, men don't use shopping carts. We don't. It's fucking pissing me off that I'm using a shopping cart. But,
right.
You know, it's like I don't, it's not like I'm going to the store like in the before time and spending $20-$40 for the today and maybe a little bit into tomorrow. Like, I have to buy a week's worth of shit, and I'm not going to be in there long enough to do the shit I usually do, which is price compare and
right
this kind of stuff and read everything, and you know, I do all that kind of stuff because I still don't have a shitload of money, and
right.
I still want to get the most out of my dollar. But right now I can't think of that, you know, I can't.
And
I'm,
also
I'm
you want to make sure that, you know, it doesn't have any corn syrup or, you know what I mean? There's certain things that you don't, you know, I love Ritz crackers. You know what I mean? That was one of my, I knew it wasn't that healthy and everything, but then someone pointed out, you know, it has corn syrup. I was like, come on, Ritz crackers. And I looked on the box and I was like, fuck, Ritz crackers has corn syrup. So, you know, there goes that one, you know. Corn syrup is one of those evil things that just lives in your body and doesn't do
forever.
Anything. Forever, yeah, you know. Like the gum they used to tell you.
Well, no,
when you were
no,
a kid.
It does do things. It clogs.
Yeah, no,
things.
It does. Right, exactly. It does bad things. You know? but yeah, just in general, and like comic books. I mean, you know, you said occasionally you go in there. There's hardly any kids in there now, you know. Kids can't afford them. I mean, they're like $5,
$6
a comic.
There are no kids in the comic book shops anymore.
Yeah, hardly. I mean, occasionally you'll get a kid, you know, with his parents, you know.
You hope.
But,
his parents. I'm just kidding.
Crazy.
I would ask Catherine what she collects, but...
Alice in Wonderland. That was a...
Alice in Wonderland.
Anything that has to do with Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah.
Okay. Like any image of it, any, you know what I mean, any tchotchkes of it, like anything? yeah, related.
There's like a shop in the village that I found amazing things. But yeah, like anything from Lewis Carroll's like the John Tenniel version, all the way up to like Disney or weird random versions. If it's Alice in Wonderland, there was a period of time where it wasn't popular. So it would be like a treasure hunt to find the thing that is Alice in the place.
Right.
And now it's just so popular that it would be. It got to the point where I started not wanting things that were Alice in Wonderland because it was stupid.
Well, I have an Alice in Wonderland thing for you if you don't think it's stupid or if you still like it.
I love your Alice in Wonderland things. Of course I want it.
You've seen it. Have you seen it?
Are you kidding? I mean, what are we talking about?
The painting that I have of the guy on the mushrooms smoking the hookah and Allison peeking over it, and the it's surrounded by, it's all Alice in Wonderland imagery. And it's a piece of art that I have in my room I have no emotional attachment to whatsoever.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I thought we've like talked about it and you've been like, no. Or whatever. Because, yeah, no, I've noticed it. It's the John Tenniel, the etching version. And that is something that if I had tattoos, that would be on my ankle.
Oh, so you know what I'm talking about.
It's in your
pictures. You even know the artist.
I see it obsessively. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. It's color.
So in the past, you've asked for it and I didn't give it to you?
I have not asked you for it.
No. It's yours.
I wouldn't be like, Facebook, can I have your thing? But you know what? It's Alice in Wonderland, so I probably did.
Hey, that's our time. We have like 30 seconds.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it went fast. Thank you so much, Norman.
Oh, certainly. Thank you
so much, Catherine. I know you're going through some shit tonight, and we didn't get into it, and maybe it's better that we didn't. Thank you so much, listeners. And show some love to yourself. Show some love to those around you.
Absolutely.
Bye.
See ya.